Looking at verse number 12 down through verse number 26 for a few moments this morning. If you're listening, by the way, a live stream, I want to remind you, if you're not watching on your cell phone, please go ahead and put it on silent, or better yet, just turn it off. I think that you can survive just a little bit of time without looking and find out who's text messaging you. I long for and think back to the good old days when you just went to work, And you called your wife at lunch. If she had a phone and you could get to a phone, you could come back. And there was no interruptions during the day. There was no alerts coming by. There was no this and no that. For last year when I dropped my phone in water for about 4 or 5 days, I went without a phone. That was the best days of my life, not having a phone. I didn't miss the convenience of it. So turn your phone off, put it aside, and let's do it the old-fashioned way, amen, like Smith Barney used to say. So we'll begin reading in just a moment or two in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. So if you're listening by the way of live stream, we want you to understand that you should, if you're a regular member or attender at Sharon Baptist Church, this coming week you'll be receiving, I believe on Monday, we're going to send it out, an informational sheet about the way that we're doing things here at Sharon Baptist Church. Obviously, not everything that we did before can we do now, and that's pretty obvious. You haven't have seen the choir because of social distancing, and so there's no going to be no choir. Different things are going to be taking place, so I encourage you to read that letter. And then after you read it once, put it down and pick it up and read it again. Read it online again, because you always get something the second time that you might have missed the first time. We want it to be a pleasant experience for you coming together as we gather together once again here at Sharon Baptist Church. And we do understand this. There'll be some, maybe medical reasons, maybe age limitations that you feel that it's not within your best interest to come back and gather with us physically here at Sharon Baptist Church. We want you to understand and know this, that we do not hold that against you. We desire you to come back, but you have to do what you feel is best for your particular situation as you are led of the Lord. So we desire to have you back, but understand if you feel that you need to just stay home for just a few more weeks or however long the Lord leads you to do that. Well, as I began praying about the messages for today and next week, we're just getting really excited about gathering together again. And then we have next Sunday, the 24th, but then on the 31st, we have a revival with Evangelist Richard Harper. And you know him and you love him, so we're looking forward to him coming. And really, what a grand way to reopen our church with a revival. So you just keep praying that the Lord will direct us in the messages to be with the evangelist. And if you'd like to help with a meal for the evangelist here at the church, and would you let our church office know, we do have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings available. We eat about 5:15. That'll give you time to fellowship with him, and then before the service time as well. So if you can help out, it'd be a real blessing if you let the church office know this week. That would be just a tremendous blessing. I wonder, have you ever heard this saying, growing old is not for sissies? I've heard that. Listen, I might have even said that once or twice. I don't think people really understand that saying, growing old is not for sissies, until you get to the point where you're starting to grow old. Now, I'm not old yet. I don't even know what the technical definition of being old is. Is it 89? Is it 110? Is it 65? I don't know what it is, but I do know this, that I'm only 57. And I'm not old, but I do believe I am growing old. Amen. That's a good way to put it. So my son cannot ever call me an old man. He could call me a growing old man, but I'm not an old man, and my wife is not an old lady. And besides that, when they were growing up, if they would have said that, that would be the last thing they spoke for about a week or so, amen? So they don't usually call me that unless he's just kidding. He said, you're an old man. But I'm going to tell him now, I'm not an old man. I am a growing old man. Well, praise the Lord. It seems like that the older we get in our body, the more our body becomes like Kellogg's Rice Krispies. It snaps, it crackles, and it pops, amen? I heard an evangelist that's coming next week. He said this, at what point in my life when I tried to stood up after I kneeled down, do I go, ugh, as I lift up? I thought, that's a good point. At some point in my life when I try to get up, I go, ugh, boy, this is hard. What point in my life did I do that? I can't remember, but I do know this, that seems to be that I am getting older and I am growing older. older. I think about the title of the message, Functioning as the Body of Christ. When you think seriously about being a member of the Body of Christ, it's somewhat like being a member of the Marines. I heard the other day about a high school that had a career day for all the seniors, and they gathered them together for one assembly, and they were in the gymnasium, and all the recruiters were there from the Army and Air Force, Navy, Marines were there. One by one, the recruiters would stand up and explain to these seniors on why they should join their particular branch of service. The Army recruiter stood up and told what he was going to do. The Air Force recruiter, of course, stood up and told the seniors why that was the best military branch if they were going into the military they ought to join. And then the Navy recruiter stood up and he said, you know what, if you want to be away from your wife and family for 6 months to 9 months at a time, I'd be the place that you'd want to join. And finally, this good-looking, tall, muscular Marine stood up to the podium. He looked around at the crowd of seniors that were placed before him, and he said these words, "I don't see anyone here who can make it in our program. It's the toughest challenge that you ever face in your life. I don't think any of you have the guts to be a Marine. If you think you got what it takes, come see me after this presentation, and we'll see if you do." Guess what? After the assembly, guess whose booth had more individuals there than any others? It was the Marine. You see, if you haven't figured it out yet, being a part of the body of Christ truly is not for sissies. In fact, it's downright tough being a part of the body of Christ. I want to take a few minutes this morning to focus our attention on three truths that help us to understand about being a member of the body of Christ. So if you found your place in your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll begin reading in verse number 12, and we'll go all the way down through verse number 27. So if you found your place, let's stand as to give respect to the reading of the Word of God. Then we'll have a season of prayer, and then we'll get right into our message. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is there therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if they were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet being one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more that these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heart before you this morning, Father. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can meet with our church family by the way of live streaming, Father. What a blessing it has been. But Father, I pray now as we get down to the choice of meat of our service, Father, I pray for the preaching of your word that you would fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray for your people, Father, that they would have understanding in this matter of functioning as the body of Christ. So, Father, I pray that you would save someone that could be listening and understanding and knowing that they're lost without Jesus Christ, that they might repent of their sin and receive Christ as their own personal Savior this very morning. So, Lord, we do love you. We do thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. As I thought about this thing of becoming the body of Christ and functioning as the body of Christ, I do believe this, that because of the COVID-19 pandemic, that we here at Sharon Baptist Church, as best as we can, have been trying to do that, but really, we haven't really been functioning like Christ intended or Christ desired for us to do so. So I wanted to remind us, as we get ready to gather together next week, again, to worship and to minister and to work for the cause and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to be reminded or maybe learned about for the very first time what we are to do as functioning as a body of Christ. And so as we think about this thought, functioning as a body of Christ, I want you to notice, first of all, this morning in verses 12 and verse number 13, I want you to understand, number one, that you are indispensable. You are indispensable, and you're indispensable for a number of reasons. First of all, in verse number 12, it tells us that we're indispensable because you are a member of the body. Notice verse 12, for as the body is one, it hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So understand this morning, if you are saved and born again, and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you belong to the body of Christ. Listen, you have no choice in the matter. When you repent of your sins and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live and dwells within inside of you. The Bible teaches us, as we'll see in just a moment or two, that you're baptized into the body of Christ. You become a member of the body of Christ by repenting of your sin and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. But I think what Paul wants every member or every part of the body of Christ to recognize this simply is that you are indispensable. In other words, we could say this, you are important. Irregardless of who you think you are, what other people know you to be, God wants you to understand, as a part of the body of Christ, a member of the body of Christ, that you are indispensable and you are very important. For years, we've heard this, that tonsils are not very important. We could very easily get rid of them. And I've known people that had their tonsils taken out. I believe Pastor James had his tonsils taken out. And that's a wonderful thing. He seems to be doing fine. But the thought that keeps coming across my mind is, if we don't need them, why did God give them to us? Amen. And so that's always running around in the back of my mind. Some of you have gallbladder surgery. Remove your gallbladder. But listen, that's wonderful and you're doing okay. But if we didn't need it, why did God put it in this, inside of us? I think in our text we find that Paul uses the analogy of the human body, which is made up of many, many different parts. And he does that to show us how the variety of members or the variety of the parts is essential to the functioning of the whole body of Jesus Christ. Each part must be present in order for the body to function properly. As I said, I know that you can do without your gallbladder. You can do without your tonsils and your adenoids. But I don't think really our body functions as 100% as God designs, even without those parts. You see, God has a purpose for every member of the body. If one part of the body is missing, guess what? It's going to affect all the other parts of the body as well. Let me illustrate it to you this way. A lot of people really enjoy reading the comics in the newspaper. I don't get the newspaper anymore, but sometimes you can read them online. And we like to read the comics because really it just makes us laugh and makes us feel a little bit lighthearted. But sometimes the comics really can teach us some valuable lessons. I think about one of my old favorite cartoons was the Peanuts cartoon. And one day Linus is watching television and Lucy walks into the room and just grabs the remote control and takes control of the TV by the remote. So Linus turned and looked at her and said, "What makes you think that you can just come right in here, grab the remote and take control of the TV?" Lucy looked over at Linus and said, "See these five fingers individually? They're nothing. But when I curl them together like this, they become a single unit, and they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." Linus said, "Which channel do you want to watch?" Turning away, he looks at his own hands, and he gazes at them for a moment, and he says, Why can't you get organized like that? Maybe that's the way that you feel. Why can't I get organized like that? However effective that may or may not be that Lucy did to Linus, I don't condone Lucy's method of gathering together to be a force beyond reckoning. But she does give a very powerful illustration on how the church, which is the body of Christ, is designed to work together. Remember what Lucy said? She said, individually, these five fingers are nothing. But when I curl them together like this into one single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. It's only when we, as many members of the body of Christ, come together that we can become an effective instrument for tearing down the strongholds of Satan, not only in our lives, but in this world as well. And this body-like unity of Christian is not a goal that we need to achieve. It's a fact that you and I need to recognize. Well, we see, first of all, that we're a member of the body, but then notice verse 13, we find this, that you're baptized into the body of Christ. Notice verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Understand this morning that Paul was not speaking about water baptism in this passage of Scripture. He's speaking about spiritual baptism. He said, for by one Spirit are we baptized into the body, speaking about the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul here is writing of this common immersion all believers have in the Holy Spirit of God at the moment of their salvation. That common immersion that brings them into the body of Christ. Another way of expressing our immersion in Jesus, we could put it this way, is to say that we have put on Christ. As a matter of fact, Galatians 3 and verse 27 says this, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And so in the original language, this phrase has the idea of putting on a suit of clothes. So we can say this, that we clothe ourselves with Jesus as our identity. Paul's really speaking about spiritual reality of those who are baptized into Christ have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, they are now called to live each day consistent with the spiritual reality that they have put on and identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is stressing our identity in Jesus through faith in what Christ has done for us. We aren't simply associated with Jesus. We're just not connected with Jesus. The Bible tells us we are identified with him. He is the Son of God, and guess what? So are we. He stands righteous before God the Father. Guess what? So do we. He has free access to the throne of grace. Guess what? So do we. He has victory over spiritual powers of darkness. Guess what? So do we. We aren't associated with Jesus. We are in Jesus. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm just not associated with him. I am in Christ himself. But Paul is saying that regardless of your ethnic background, he says whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, he says it doesn't matter about your position in this world, whether you're bond or whether you're free, every part of the body of Jesus Christ is indispensable because we are a member and have been baptized in Christ Jesus. In order for the church, and let me say this, Sharon Baptist Church, to function properly, it must have a variety of parts or a variety of members that work together as a whole. Let me put it this way. I need you, and I do hope and I do pray that you recognize that you need me. We are a whole. Many members make up the body of Christ. Well, not only is each member is indispensable, but notice something else in verses 14 down through verse 17. Notice that every member is interdependent. Every member is interdependent. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the verses in that passage, but understand this. The body, in verse number 14, is made up of many. Notice what it says. For the body is not one member, but many. And that is, every part of the body of Jesus Christ relies on other members of the body to function properly. You know, you've heard me say before, and I make no claims to this fact, that I am not a mechanic. Tools really don't do anything inside this pastor's hands besides handing them to someone who's really doing the work. I thank God for people that can work with their hands and do tools, and even the simplest things that you could do blindfolded, turned upside down, turns into a nightmare when I try to accomplish those things. But I do know this: when one part of my engine in my car begins to break down and the car begins to run just a little bit sluggish, perhaps we would even say my car's not running right, my car begins to run bad, it might run, but it doesn't run very well. And eventually I know this, that probably there's a good chance that when my car's chugging down the road back and forth like this, spitting and backfiring, that pretty soon it's going to give up the ghost and just stop dead right on Hampton Center Parkway. But I want you to know that Paul used the example of the human body to teach this lesson to you and I as well. When a member of our body is not functioning properly, when you're in and out of the church, when you're in and out of the body of Christ, attending the Sharon Baptist Church, when you're in and out of reading your Bible, when you're in and out of praying, when you're in and out of fellowshipping with God, guess what? That affects the total function of the body. And guess what? Not too long, if you keep in that way, the function of the church could end up being a little sluggish and could end up stopping altogether. You see, without the cooperation, the various members or parts of our human body, vital tasks would be impossible for us to do. You say, well, I'm not really anybody in this church. Yes, you are. You're indispensable. You are as important as the next person. Take, for example, the single act that I'm doing right now. So I'm preaching or speaking that I'm doing now. If any parts of my body that are necessary for speech all of a sudden just decide they don't want to participate in this act of speaking or preaching the gospel, guess what? It'd be impossible for me to continue from this moment on if just one part of my speech process decides to shut down. Speech is only possible when the brains and the nerves, the tongue, the jaw, the lips, the larynx, the lungs, the diaphragm, the heart, the vein, the arteries, and parts all unknown to me all work together for that specific purpose of speaking and preaching the gospel. Listen, it's no different with Sharon Baptist Church. Every member of the body of Christ is interdependent. We depend upon each other to function properly. Even the smallest function of the body of Sharon Baptist Church requires a coordinated effort of the various members to accomplish it, that God might receive honor and glory. In the body of Christ, I am depending upon you, and you are depending upon me. Well, notice that the body is made up of many members in verse 14, but notice in verse 15 through 17, notice the diversity in the body. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Notice in verse 15, we find that Paul was writing about the foot and the hand. And if the foot all of a sudden decided to feel, or he said, listen, I'm not part of the body any longer because I'm not a hand, the foot would be foolish and the foot would be mistaken. I think Paul really is alluding to this fact of the diversity doesn't disqualify one from the body. I've said it from day one, that different doesn't mean wrong. It just means different. Diversity doesn't mean that someone is disqualified from the body. Some are feet, some are hands. Some are hands and some are eyes. Some are eyes and some are smell. Some are smell and some are hearing. Paul wants Christians who might exclude other people because they don't appreciate their place in the body to recognize this fact of the unity of the body. So we have the foot and the eye in verse 15, but in verse 16 we have the ear and the eye. Not only is this diversity in the body of Jesus Christ acceptable? Get this now, this diversity is essential. The body cannot work properly with each member's our hands. If all of us here at Sharon Baptist Church were hands, we could never get anything accomplished. If all you had was hands and not feet and not mouth and not ears and not eyes, all you had was hands, guess what? We pretty handily wouldn't be able to do too much, would we? That's pretty good, wasn't it? I thought you might like that. The body has to have different parts. The body has to have different members. We have to have different gifts, or we couldn't work together effectively as one body. But then in verse 17, Paul again highlights the diversity of the members. And this time he speaks about hearing and smell. And again, Paul is using these parts of the body to help us understand that diversity is not only acceptable, but it's essential inside the local New Testament church being part of the body of Christ. Let me illustrate it to you this way. In a certain mountain village in Europe several centuries ago, there was a nobleman who wondered what his legacy would be to the people after he had passed on. And so finally, after thinking about it and praying about it, he decided he was going to build them a church. And no one saw the completed plans of the church until it was finished. Not the leaders, not the people, only the workmen knew the completed plans of the church. So when the people gathered that first Sunday, they really marveled at the beauty of it and the completeness of that church that had been built for them as a legacy from their king. Then someone asked, "But where are the lamps? And how will they be lighted?" The nobleman pointed to some brackets that were hanging up on the side of the walls of that church. Then he gave each family a lamp that they were to bring with them every time they came into worship. And he said this, "Each time that you are here, the area where you sit is going to be lighted." But then the nobleman continued, "And each time you're not here, the area where you normally sit will be dark." And that is to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house is going to be dark. Let me give you another illustration by the way of analogy of a flying a kite. As we consider this activity of flying a kite, we ask ourselves this question, who really flew the kite? Well, when you think about that, "I did," yells the wind. "I did," shouts the paper. "I did," exclaims the tail. "I did," says the string. "I did," boasts the boy. But in reality, guess what? They all together, collectively, as one body, flew the kite. Each had a specific part they had to play. And if any one of those parts had not come together, guess what? They couldn't have flown the kite. It's no different for Sharon Baptist Church. We're interdependent. And without that one little part, we're not going to function as God intended. And we're not going to give God the honor and glory that he deserves and that we need to give him. I hope I'm getting across to you this morning just how important it is that we realize that we are interdependent upon each other. We need each other. God has a place for you here. You play an important part in making this work for the Lord Jesus Christ a great success. Everyone else is depending upon you to be here, to carry out your function. And if you fail to be here, and if you fail to carry out your function in this body, the whole body of Jesus Christ will begin to suffer. Remember, I need you, and I hope and pray and realize that you need me. I do understand this as I looked out this morning, began thinking, boy, it's been pretty nice to just wake up in the morning, do your devotions. Maybe you're in your relaxing clothes, get a cup of coffee, turn on the television and dial in if you have internet on your television and be able to watch the preaching of God's word. You're there in your slippers, you're nice and relaxed, in your comfortable clothes. But listen, we need you here. As you feel ready to come back, listen, don't be lulled into the thinking of the world that you don't need to be there. They're live streaming it. Listen, you need to be here. And I say that with these. Listen, when you feel comfortable and safe coming out of your home, you need to be here. Listen, if you say, I'm not coming back till September, I'm worried about it, I'd say, I'll be praying for you. I do understand that. But if you're lazy and you just want to sit around in your jammies and drink coffee during the preaching of God's word, if you just want to not take the time to gather together again, I'm telling you, that would be sin. You are an important part. We're interdependent. I need to see you here, and hopefully you need to see me here. Well, we see we're indispensable, we're interdependent, and notice very quickly, thirdly, each member is interconnected in verses 18 through verse number 26. Each member is interconnected. Notice verse 18, we have the pleasure. The Bible says, but now hath God set that members, every one of them in a body, now get this now, as it hath pleased him. Boy, I don't know how many times I read this verse over and over again, but when I saw this verse this week, it was like a light bulb that just came in. Oftentimes we wonder, well, why aren't they here? Why did they leave? God says, because it hath pleased me. And you know what? And if it pleased God for them to be here, amen. If it pleases God for them to go somewhere else, praise God for that too. It's not for me to worry about. Bible says, for now, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Have you ever thought this? Why is the foot a foot and a hand a hand? Probably not, but I'm going to tell you why. Because it pleased the designer to make it that way. That's why the foot is a foot. That's why the hand is a hand. So the hand can't take any pride in being a hand. And the foot cannot take no shame in being a foot. Everyone is serving at the pleasure of the designer, God himself. Notice in verses 19 to verse 24, we see the need and the necessity, the need and the necessity. In the design of the body and members, we see, again, the wisdom of the designer. Everybody has something, but nobody has everything. And so you may have a few gifts, or you might have a lot of natural talent. Everybody has something, but not everybody has everything. And whether you like it or not, you're interconnected together. We all need each other. I can't get along without you, and you can't get along without me. At least I tell my wife that all the time. You need me. Praise the Lord. General Eisenhower once rebuked one of his lower-ranking generals for referring to a soldier as just a private. He reminded him the army couldn't function. The army could function better without the generals than it could without the foot soldiers. He said this, if the war is to be won, he said, it will be won by the privates and not by the generals. In just the same way, the common, ordinary, one talented Christians here at Sharon Baptist Church are the backbone of the body. They are the backbone of the membership. Today we have dynamic preachers who lead super-sized congregations of prosperous Christians. We're able to finance those large ministries. But I can tell you this, if the work of the Lord is to be done, if the gospel is going to be taken to the lost, if people are going to be saved, it will be done by ordinary Christians just like you and I who will do what God has asked him to do. Well, we see our pleasure and we see the need and necessity, but notice the verses 25 and 26. Notice the schisms and sufferings. The Bible says that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And that simply means this, that whatever affects the members of the body of Jesus Christ ought to be felt by all the members of the body of Jesus Christ. Let me bring this principle home to you by giving you another example from our human bodies. Most of us really don't give very much thought to our toes, especially our little pinky toe, except perhaps when I'm playing with my granddaughter and we're playing the little children's game and it comes to that part and I say, and this little piggy went wee, wee, wee all the way home. That's about the only time we really think about our toes, and unless you're a lady and you're looking for a place to get your toes and fingers painted, amen. But we don't really think about that, particularly our pinky toe. It's just one of those things in our life that we just don't normally think about all the time. But suppose you're at home and you're running around barefoot and you've just happened to stub, slam, bump your pinky toe into the leg of a chair. Let me assure you of this. You will immediately evident that your pinky toe does in fact exist. You'll be made aware of it immediately. Every part of your body will join in the pain of you stubbing that little pinky toe. The leg and the foot that's not injured will begin to jump up and down. Your back will bend over in order for your arm and hand to give a soothing massage to that little pinky toe. All the members necessary for speech will join in and you'll offer groans of words that the Bible says you cannot express. No part of your body is going to go untouched by the injury to your little pinky toe. All of it is going to be affected. All of your body will come together for its aid. And that's the way it is when one part of the body suffers, that all the body should come together. Well, notice the particulars in verse 27. We see the pleasure, the need and necessity, the schisms and suffering. Then we add the particulars. Notice as we begin to close, the Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Paul was saying that each and every one of us has its own particular place. He's saying that you have your own particular function inside the body of Jesus Christ. And it's only when we learn what that function is, it's only when we learn what that place is, that we can be effective for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be effective for the body of Christ. You know, I really hate to admit this, but I think it's fair for me to say today that many churches do not operate as the body of Christ. There's a lot of members, many members, but they don't operate as a body of Christ. And I believe sometimes even here at Charon Baptist Church that we pretend that we're going to be the body of Christ, but that's all it is. It's just a pretense. Have you ever gone to a fair and there was a headless frame painted to maybe represent a muscle man or maybe a clown or maybe a bathing beauty? And you know what you do. The body is there, but the head is gone. And people go up and they get their picture taken that way. And it's funny because it's not your body, but it's your head. We've all done that before. We've done it in vacation Bible school, and the different theme parks around here have those things. You know, if it wasn't so serious, it really would be funny, because some churches today really claim to be the body of Christ. But get this, the body doesn't fit the head. Maybe God will help us here at Charon Baptist Church, as we are the body of Christ, that we fit the head and we operate together as the body of Christ. And so the question I want to leave with you this morning is simply this: are you functioning as part of the body? I'm not asking if you're attending. I'm not asking if you're giving. I'm not asking if you do a little thing here or a little thing there. I'm asking you this: are you functioning as the body of Christ? Or maybe you're causing schisms or division within the body of Christ. Regardless of what you may think about somebody else, everyone here is an important to the cause of Jesus Christ. You may not want to admit it, but guess what? All of us, including myself, need help, and we can get this help. I want us, as we gather back together again next week on May the 24th, I want us to begin once again to function as the body of Christ. Each member is indispensable. Each member is interdependent. Each member is interconnected. Would you be a part of the functioning body of Charon Baptist Church? Let's pray.